CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The news from Scotland, the resignation, the stepping away of the First Minister of Scotland, Nicola Sturgeon, for the leader of the Scottish National Party, the explanation from Reuters of the decision, echoing Jacinda Ardern's comment that Jacinda Ardern, former Prime Minister of New Zealand, had, quote, no more in the tank when she quit as New Zealand's leader in January. Nicola Sturgeon said the brutality of modern politics took a toll, and she could no longer commit to give, quote, every ounce of energy, end quote, that the job entailed. This means the Scottish National Party now will have new leadership. However, the same story continues, I understand, which is that Scotland wishes to rejoin the EU and rejoin it as an independent sovereign power. Independence, it's called. So I go to Simon Constable, who spent many years in Edinburgh, grew up with the understanding of Scottish independence, is now in the south of France, reflecting on not only Nicola Sturgeon's independence rhetoric these last years, but the ambition of Scotland to join the EU, given the upset in London, given the upset in the EU, given the topsy-turvy nature of Whitehall politics. Simon, is it your measure with Nicola Sturgeon stepping down that there will be no change, that Scotland remains consistently to rejoin the EU, and no matter who the new leader is, that will dominate? Good day to you, Simon.
Good day to you, John. Well, first of all, it was a bit of a surprise that she stepped down. I thought she was going to be there forever until her last days on this earth. But she has stepped down, and yes, whoever takes over, and it's probably going to be Angus Robertson, former SNP Westminster leader, it's probably going to have, or almost certainly going to have, this sort of top of the agenda: independence from Britain, swiftly followed by an application to join the European Union. That's what Scotland wants. That's what the people of Scotland want overwhelmingly. Whether that's right or wrong is up to the voters. And I think that will just continue. And I think whoever takes over will be able to make that happen.
To the EU, because the EU right now is in a war with Russia. The EU and NATO are not exactly the same, but very similar. And their ambitions depend upon the price of gasoline, the price of petrol, the price of diesel, the price of electricity, and the ability to maintain consistent growth despite the absence of Russian energy, which has been feeding the European prosperity these last years. Simon, I watched the commodities very carefully now that we're coming to 1 year of the war. And you're in France, where the bulk of the electricity is nuclear powered. That is not the case in Germany, nor is it the case in the rest of the EU. I'm watching the energy commodities, and what I see is a moderation to improvement in natural gas, crude oil, and I believe diesel oil. Do you see that reflected in France? Do you see that reflected throughout the EU?
Well, I definitely see it reflected in France. I mean, the price of a liter, not a gallon, but a liter of diesel fuel is now 1 euro 83. That's approximately $7.43. So that's not bad. And I'm seeing that locally here when I go to buy diesel. And that's certainly a moderation, because it was sticking around €2 per liter. So a little bit more than it was now. So that's moderating. And it's moderating in line with falling Brent crude prices. If we look back to this time last year, which was just before the invasion of Ukraine, it was $95 a barrel of Brent crude, and now it's $84. So that's a steadily decreasing amount, and that's a very good thing for anyone who needs to buy fuel, and it's reflected in lower gasoline prices too.
And maybe part of the explanation for the IMF's optimistic opinion that Europe, the EU, will avoid recession in 2023. That is not the case right now, we're told, in the United States, but that's a changing story. So good news for the commodities, the energy commodities. Now we come to food security. We've talked about corn, we've talked about wheat, we've talked about soybean. How do they show right now, compared year over year from when the Russians invaded Ukraine to just about the 1 year mark? Where are they, Simon?
Well, this is very interesting. Wheat prices went up very, very high in late February last year, which is about you know, 51 weeks ago, and they went up to, I'm just going to get the exact figure. And initially, they went up to $12.52 a bushel, and then they went further, and they went up to $12.77 a bushel. Now they've come back down all the way to the less than $8, so they're $7.70. a bushel right now. And that's good. It's a key component in bread. You need wheat. It's also a key cattle food. And we see that on a lot of other things. But one thing we see a slight counter trend is soybeans. Yes, soybeans are lower than they were a year ago, but they've still been trending up lately, certainly since July. And part of that is China coming back to business. So you may remember there have been this zero COVID policy, which was keeping China locked down or a lot of China locked down. And now that basically that's gone, they're buying a lot more soybeans, and that's used as hog feed and also to make tofu. So you've got a huge country with a lot of demand for that. So that's going up. But mostly we're seeing things calm down in the agricultural commodities market.
And China, we go to the metals commodities. The one I watch is copper. And copper is heading up. It's not near where it could be, but that has to be China coming back online as well. Do you read it that way?
Absolutely, I do read it that way. It's the biggest consumer of minerals in the world by a long way. So a little bit earlier this year, around the beginning of July, copper went to a low of 323, July 15th, 2022. And now it's just above four. It's $402 per pound. So you're thinking of a pound. What can a pound do? But you buy a lot of pounds to make a house and wire it. And so that's been going up because they've got a big construction sector in China, and they're going to need all of that. And they also make a lot of automobiles over there, and they'll need that for the wiring harnesses that go around the steering wheel. So again, China's helping lift that price up.
Now, I do not see any large distortions in the commodities that I watch. So what we have here is a pause. Is it a pause before the second half of the hurricane, or is it a pause because we're normalizing war fighting? We don't know what comes next. We're given a lot of warnings, however, about a Russian offensive, about Russia gathering its warplanes. But Simon's in the south of France, where it is paradise. And I want to check on that, Simon. Here in southern New England, we've experienced an extremely mild winter with very little snowfall, no major accumulation. And now in mid-February, weather into the 60 Fahrenheit, 50 Fahrenheit routinely, not getting to freezing at night. How is it in the south of France where it is always paradise?
Yes, it's always paradise here. Nothing ever goes wrong. It's now 60 degrees where I am, and it's beautiful. It's clear. It's sunny. It does drop down quite quickly to the low 30s at night, and sometimes a little bit more. And that is partly a factor of the fact there are no clouds to keep the heat in. So the heat blazes down from the sun, it warms us up, and then when the sun goes down, there's no heat anymore, and the temperature drops a bit. But it is very nice, and I'm very glad to see the sun again. There was a couple of weeks when there wasn't any, and I missed it. I missed the sun.
You're surrounded by farmers. Do they say this is an unusual year? We have about 30 seconds.
They're saying it was unusual because we got snow, which is normally not a very usual thing here. But last year, apparently, it got down to well below freezing temperatures. So it is mild, and people I talk to are saying, yes, this is a good winter to have first if you first moved here.
The first winter of war, Europe got lucky. Simon Constable of Barron's and Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.